I don't know about you, but I don't like change. I like being in control of my life. There are some areas in my life where I've kept to myself. I've kept them off limits from God. Even though I may know of how he wants that area of my life to look, I say, no, God, I'll keep that area to myself. I'll do it my own way. He has specifically been convicting me of my interaction with an unbelieving world. I don't want to give up any sense of popularity, and my pride may keep me from sharing the message with someone. I desire to follow Jesus with my whole heart and my whole life. It's not a partial commitment, and I want that to be my number one priority. I am Nathan, and I am not a fan.
Yeah, Nathan's on his way to Hawaii today. Isn't this great? Look at this stage up here. I think it has something to do with me and showers. I'm not sure. But you're safe out there, way out there. You're safe. Actually, somebody said, you should fall off the stage and get up, and we could have he rise again. It just doesn't get any better than this. You know, this week, these little gummy things that we've been wearing, people that have been wearing these are actually having conversations with people. Some guy from an HVAC company said, wow, that's really cool. Can I get some of those? I said, sure. Why do you want one? He says, because we sell air conditioning. We don't sell fans. Oh, man. Yeah, if you're visiting with us, I'm sorry. No, life is really good. This is a good series, and I know that a number of small groups have already had their first session, watched the video, the DVD presentation. How many of you have seen it so far, the first good number of you? I didn't know what to expect, but when that first thing ended, there was just this kind of sobering silence that fell over our small group, and you could tell that the Lord was doing some things, and we want to keep that up. The whole point of this series, of course, is that we're making a distinction between those who are fans of Jesus and those who are followers of Jesus, and everybody's heading in one direction or the other. A fan, of course, is somebody who's an enthusiastic admirer, somebody who sits in the stands and is cheering loudly because they like Jesus, they like what he says, but at the end, they're just going to go home and continue living their life. A follower is completely committed to get out of the stands, get in the game, and put some skin into it. So a disciple follower is somebody who's adopting the manners, the ways, and the lifestyles of the master. The question is, in your life, which direction are you headed? Which way are you going? Which brings us to a verse in Luke chapter 9. This is the real reason why we're behind this study. And Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Now, if we just look carefully at this verse, we can see a few things. First of all, the intent is expressed in those last two words, follow me. That's what Jesus is after. He's not just looking for people who are going to show up. He's looking for people who will follow. Then we go to the beginning of the verse, and those first few words indicate that this is an option, if anyone would. And then he says, come after me. Those words, come after me, are different than the words, follow me, because they indicate a signing on. Yes, if anyone would sign on, if anybody would get on board with me, to follow me, then there are two requirements that have to take place. The first one is this: you have to deny yourself. The second one is you have to take up your cross daily. And you have to make sure your clicker is working. There we go. Requisite number two: take up your cross daily. Two requisites before you even get to follow me. Deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and then follow. So let's take a closer look at this. Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. Now, to deny yourself, we know what it's like to deny our kids if they want to eat something before dinner. We say no. Well, denying yourself is very similar. It's learning to say no to yourself and saying yes to what somebody else wants. Now, what is it that Jesus wants? Sometimes we can get into a little discussion about that. But one thing is very clear to me, and what's very clear to me is what I want. I want to get stuff. I want to enjoy things. And I want to be somebody. I bet you've got some similar wants in your own life. That's what I want. So to deny myself, I'm going to have to learn how to say no when I'm looking for those kinds of things. I sat down in front of my weight loss counselor recently, and she wanted to know why I wanted to lose weight. And then she asked this question that I've asked a lot of people. It's a tool. She said, on a scale of 1 to 10, how motivated are you to lose weight? And I thought hard, because I didn't know whether to tell her the truth or to tell her what she wanted to hear. So I did some thinking. And as I was thinking about, you know, stuff that I really like. The truth is that I like to eat. I really like to eat. I like the fact that I can go to any restaurant and know that they are going to serve me portions that are much bigger than any healthy adult needs. I like drive-thrus, and I like them very conveniently located. I like being able to go over to Texas Roadhouse and get the 12-ounce steak with that huge loaded baked potato and those rolls that they just keep coming. And I like that. I like going to the Olive Garden and ordering the Tour of Italy. You know the Tour of Italy. And all that endless salad and those breadsticks. And I can eat it all and have room for dessert. I like being able, aren't you glad there's this distance here? I like being able to order a pizza and eat the whole thing by myself, not get heartburn, and sleep through the night without feeling guilty. I like to eat. In fact, I like being able to want a nice big chocolate brownie with thick frosting and chocolate all over it and ice cream and whipped cream. Excuse me a minute. Oh. I was debating. Do I tell her the truth? Or do I tell her what she wanted to hear? You know what the debate was in my mind? £50 extra. That's what I carry around with me. Do I choose this, what I like so much? Or do I choose to get rid of that? There's the choice. If I choose to keep this, I choose to enjoy this. If I choose to say no to this, then I get to choose to say goodbye to that. Anyone who would come after me, Jesus says, must deny himself, or you can't follow him. There are things in our life that get in the way of following Jesus. One of them is memory. Remember to pick up the keypad clicker. So she asked me again, how motivated are you? And I decided to tell her the truth. Well, honestly, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd have to say I'm a 4. Because I enjoy eating way too much. And in that moment, when those words came out of my mouth, it dawned on me that I was going to have to deny my wants, my pleasures, my enjoyment, so that I could have a healthier life. We could just as easily talk about debt, couldn't we? How badly do you want to buy that stuff? Are you willing to bear the consequences of debt so that you can have more toys? We could talk about other things that are important to you. How badly is that? Do you want that expensive salon makeup and fashion thing that's going on, as opposed to taking care of the needs of the poor? I mean, seriously, if you had to choose between going without your personal favorite care products, and you know which ones they are, you know which brands you like, giving them up so that you could give more money to increase ministry efforts, what would you choose and why? Which is more important to you, to get more of what you want or to live on the plus side of zero? If you had to choose, which way would you swing? How about that favorite indulgence that you got? And you know which one I'm talking about, because it's the one you don't like anybody else to know about. What about that secret indulgence, that habit? Which is more important to you, enjoying the habit and that pseudo-comfort that it brings you, or enjoying a clear conscience and the freedom that comes from not being bound to it? Which would you rather have? What about in your career? What sways your decisions about your career? Is it how much money you can earn and the benefits package? Or is it the time you have available for those who mean most to you in life? Which way does your pendulum swing? It's a whole lot easier to say the thing you think should be said than to be brutally honest with yourself. How many of you are using that Not a Fan journal? A couple hands go up. That's a really hard journal, isn't it? And it's not a Bible study journal at all. Here's the trick. It's private. It's confidential. It's only for you. And the more brutally honest you are with yourself as you go through that journal, the closer you're going to get to find out what it means to be a fully committed, devoted follower of Jesus Christ. This is a story about an x-ray technician that we knew in Spain. Carolyn had to go in for some x-rays. It was her third pregnancy. And as she was getting prepped by the x-ray technician, we noticed that his arms were covered with these red sores and white skin. I mean, he looked like he had been burned and was a recovering burn victim. And so we asked him about it. And he explained that it was from years of working as an x-ray technician. And then he pointed to the wall, and hanging on the wall was a mask, a lead apron, and some lead gloves. And he preferred to leave them hanging on the wall to work with a person's bones under the x-ray live, so he could see where the bones were being placed the whole time the x-ray was on. He chose that because wearing the protective equipment was just too cumbersome. And now he was burned from the x-rays. His body was suffering the results of the overexposure. His words, "It's just easier this way." Oftentimes, it's easier to give in to our bad character customs. It's easier to hold on to anger. It's easier to not forgive somebody, because it comes natural to us. No one has to train us to be jealous. No one has to teach us how to be vindictive. We intuitively know these things. But to follow Jesus, you have to give it up. And you have to adopt his character traits. You have to learn how to forgive. You have to learn how to love the unlovely. You have to learn how to act like him. "If anyone would come after me," Jesus said, "a choice has to be made. And that choice starts with, who am I going to deny and who am I going to obey?" In your life, where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line and say, "Nope, not that, Jesus. Don't go there. That's mine. You can't have it. You can have this other stuff. I'm never going to kill anybody. You can have my murderous trait. You can take that. But stay out of my computer monitor. don't go there. Where do you draw the line? It doesn't mean that you don't like him. It doesn't mean that you don't like what he stands for. It just means that when it comes to the choice of this or him, you prefer to choose this. If anyone would come after me, you must deny yourself. That's where it starts. The second thing he says in that statement, the second requisite, is you have to take up your cross daily. Now, just before Jesus had made this statement, if you open up your Bible in Luke chapter 9 and you just back up a couple sentences, you'll discover that this was the very first time that Jesus predicted his death. He said it was right after Peter had confessed that Jesus is the Christ. Peter confesses he's the Christ. Jesus says, okay, don't tell anybody about this. I want to let you in on something. I'm going to die. They're going to kill me. It's going to be brutal. It's going to be messy. Right after that, you would think he would pat them on the shoulders and say, let me pray for you and encourage you and give you some strength. No, right after that, he says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Wow. That was his destiny. He knew it. And he was going there, eyes wide open. He knew what was going to happen to him, and it didn't slow him down. He embraced what his father required of him. What did his father require of him? That he would suffer and be brutally tortured and killed. Okay, I'm going. Sign me up. Wow. In almost the same breath, he says, now, if you want to come after me, you got to do the same thing. In other words, if you're going to have the same mindset and intention in life as Jesus, you have to be willing to go wherever the Father wants to take you, regardless of the personal shame that may come your way, the embarrassment, the pain, the discomfort, the injustice that you may experience, the suffering that comes with walking in the footsteps of Jesus. Question, how willing are you to live a life like that? If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. You know, I always wrestle with how honest I should be with you. It's easy to tell the story with the brownie, right? Because that's kind of funny. But then there's other things that I wonder if I should tell you or not. But somehow I think that if I'm transparent, it gives you permission to be transparent with each other. I got upset with God recently. I was comparing what he requires of me with what he requires of some other people. And I felt like he was being a little tough on me. So I shared my frustration with a brother, and this is where koinonia really comes into play. I was sharing my frustration with somebody, and I said, you know, it just really ticks me off. Why should I have to do all this stuff, and somebody else can just go off to the cabin? I don't get it. It's not fair. And then he reminded me of a conversation that the Apostle Peter had with Jesus after the resurrection. And you remember Peter was the one who had denied Jesus three times? Well, in this conversation that Jesus and Peter are having, Jesus gives him an opportunity to say how much he loves him. Three times he affirms Peter in that conversation. And at the end of that, all during that conversation at the end, Jesus points out to Peter what's going to be the hallmark of his life. He said, Peter, feed my sheep. That's it. Feed my sheep. That was going to be the hallmark of Peter's life, feeding God's sheep. People like you and me, stubborn, picky eaters, feed them. Walking that road was eventually going to cost Peter his life. He ended up being killed for his faith. So in that conversation, Peter didn't know all that. He was processing what Jesus said to him, and then he did something. Here's this other guy standing right over there. And Peter says to Jesus, what about him? Jesus' answer is classic. You know what he said? Look it up. What's it to you? Ouch. What's it to you? That's it right there. What he specifically asks of you is not what he's going to specifically ask of me. It's going to look different. But here's what you need to know. In those specifics, though they may be different, the intent in life is exactly the same. What he said was, if you're going to follow me, you have to take up your cross daily, wherever that takes you. It's the same intention in life. If you don't do that, you cannot be called one of his. You belong to somebody else, but you don't belong to him. To do what the Father wants you to do, regardless of what it costs you, you cannot follow him otherwise. Requisite number one, deny yourself. Requisite number two, take up your cross. Requisite number three, follow. Those two words. Wow, that's what this series is all about. Jesus is Lord. The Greek words here are different than the ones that are used at the beginning of this verse. Here, these words, follow mean, carry with it this idea of accompanying somebody on a journey. The ones at the beginning carry with it the idea of signing on to something. So these words, follow me, this is an ongoing thing. This isn't a one-time decision. This is a lifetime from beginning to end. It's the difference between enlisting in the army because you want to get the free education and carrying a gun into battle. That's the difference between the beginning and the end of this verse. Enlisting is optional. But once you've enlisted, following is mandatory. Once you're on, you're in. You never, ever outgrow following Jesus. I could preach this same message every day until the day I died to the same congregation, and it would still be fresh. Because you never outgrow following Jesus. Ever. You're never too mature, and you never have too much knowledge. It doesn't matter if you just recently trusted Christ for the first time, or if you've been walking with him for decades. It's still valid. It doesn't mean that you've got the path mastered, that you're perfect, and that there's nothing wrong in your life. It doesn't mean that. When you start, sometimes you make mistakes. Sometimes later down the road, you make mistakes and you mess things up. Sometimes you make a few wrong turns. What this means is that you've entrusted yourself to a Savior to go with him on a journey. He's taking you somewhere. Do you know where that is? It's eternal life, the life of eternity. Okay. Sometimes it's just plain hard to follow Jesus. Let's be a little more transparent, okay? We're all in this together if you've made up your mind to follow him. But sometimes following Jesus gets to be really hard. For example, when you've invested 2 decades into one of your children, you've poured yourself into them, passing on values and scriptural insights, modeling for them how to be a good person. And then the day comes when they walk away from your values, your faith, your family. That's not an excuse to stop following. Push on. How about this? You've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed for a loved one's illness. And they don't get better. In fact, over time, it seems like the illness only gets worse. And sometimes it ends in death. Will you follow Jesus in spite of that? Will you push through? It's not a reason to stop. How about this? You've acted uprightly. You've been above board. You've been ethical in every way, and you're the one who gets fired and the guy who cheats gets promoted. It's an opportunity for bitterness to get in there. It's an opportunity for, gee, I could pursue this in the courts. Right? But it's not an excuse to stop following Jesus. How about this? You've sought to be a person of character and integrity. You think of yourself pretty highly. I'm a pretty good person. I'm a valuable contribution to society. And then you're the one who gets maligned. You're the one who gets taken to task for things you never said and things you never did. It's no reason to stop following Jesus. You keep on following Jesus. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, you've got to deny yourself. You have to take up your cross daily. Then you can follow me. And you have to follow. You know, I can't help but wondering if even right now as I'm talking, being transparent, exposing the scripture, if God isn't saying something to some of you right now about something that you're walking through. It's time to do the disciple-follower thing, wherever you're at. It's time to follow up on what God is challenging you in, whatever that is. It's time for you to pray for wisdom and pray for that strength that comes from tapping into his grace to do the right thing, in spite of whatever it costs you to do. It's time to activate that little trust network, that koinonia network, those people in your small group that know you so well. It's time to be talking to those people in your life that mean the most to you, your spouse, your friends, your spiritual leaders. It's time to be transparent about whatever that thing is and get the help that you need to put off the wrong stuff and to put on the right stuff. It's time to follow Jesus a little more. In that process, you may trip and fall. Can I speak as a pastor? You may trip and fall. Here's a word of encouragement for you. Psalm 37 says this. When a man delights in the Lord's way, the steps of that man are established by the Lord. Though he fall, he will not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. You know what that tells me? The cost is there. The denying of yourself is often hard, because no one likes to see quivering flesh on the cross. And following Jesus is going to challenge you. Here's the promise. You don't go there alone. You go there with someone who's gone before you. You go with him on the same journey. That's the promise. How about we close in prayer? After prayer, John Carlos, one of our students, is going to come up and lead us in communion. A time just to be honest with the Lord, remember why he died. And one of the reasons why he died was to make followers, to take us where he's going. So let's just entrust ourselves to the Lord. Father, we thank you for who you are, because you're greater than any of the challenges that we will ever face. Thank you for the promise that you're with us in the journey. Help us to understand that you're not looking for people who are just willing to sign on, but you're willing, you're looking, you're searching for people who will sign up and take those steps to follow you. Help us to fully understand what it means to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and to walk in your footsteps wherever you take us. Amen.